Mahabharata, Chapter 59. Yudhisthira approaches Bhishma. In the Pandava camp, everyone was talking about Bhishma. The next day would be the 10th day of battle, and still the Kuru commander was scorching their army. It seemed there was no way to stop him. If Krishna had not taken matters into his own hands today, then even Arjuna might have been killed. Surely no fighter could equal him anywhere in the three worlds. As the Pandavas consulted with their allies, Yudhisthira said, "O Keshava, Bhishma ranges across the battlefield like an all-consuming fire. We dare not even look at him as he stands with his weapons raised, his face blazing with anger. Even the god of death wielding his mace, or Varuna his noose, or Indra his thunderbolt might be overcome, but not Bhishma. O Krishna, I am again thinking of retiring from this battle. So many heroes have died. It is clear that none will survive this fight. Bhishma will destroy our forces. We are like insects rushing into a blazing fire. Thus it is preferable to stop now and spend the rest of my days practicing asceticism. What do you advise, O Janardan? My mind is afflicted by duality and doubt." Even though he had spent the day exerting himself fully as Arjuna's charioteer, Krishna appeared fresh and spotless. A garland of unflading lotuses and necklaces of pearls and gems rested on his chest. Lifting a graceful hand, he replied, "O son of Dharma, do not indulge in grief. On your side you have warriors equal to the gods. All of your brothers still stand ready to do your bidding in battle, and all of them are invincible. I am here, too, to do you good, O mighty monarch. Simply order me, and I will personally slay Bhishma. For your sake, O son of Pandu, what would I not do? I can challenge Bhishma and kill him before Duryodhan's eyes. Even if Arjuna is reluctant, you will not find me so. If you feel that by killing Bhishma victory will be attained, then riding out alone I shall end his life." Krishna glanced affectionately at all the Pandavas. "He who is inimical toward you brothers is my enemy. Your friends are as dear to me as my own relatives. Arjuna is my friend, relative, and disciple. For him I would cut off and give away my own flesh. He too would lay down his life for my sake. Although I am ready to do whatever is necessary, I think Arjuna should keep his vow. He should slay the grandfather, not me. There is also the prophecy regarding Sikandi. Somehow Sikandi will be involved in Bhima's destruction. The grandfather's death is imminent. He has lost his good sense and no longer knows right from wrong. Let us therefore act now to bring about his end." Yudhisthira replied, "It is exactly as you say, Madhusudan. You are capable of destroying the entire universe with all its moving and non-moving creatures. With your support alone, I am sure to obtain everything I desire, but I cannot let your words be falsified for my sake. It is already enough that you came close to breaking your promise today. You must not kill Bhishma. I think we will be able to find some other means, my lord." Yudhisthira's brothers nodded their approval. Krishna was like their second self. They would never be able to tolerate hearing him criticized. Krishna's words were meant to guide them all. If he broke his words, then others would follow his example, and the whole world would be ruined. People would disregard his instructions and end up in hell. Remembering what Bhishma had said to him at the beginning of the battle, Yudhisthira said, "It is Bhishma himself who will tell us how to kill him. Alas, how vile is a Kshatriya's duty that I must now seek to kill he who became our father when we were fatherless. That one who has always sought our good and loved us as his own, that aged grandsire, I now wish to kill." Consoling the weeping Yudhisthira, Krishna said, "Take heart, O hero. The son of Ganga has chosen to follow Duryodhan, and thus cannot avoid death in this battle. You have spoken rightly. We must hear from Bhishma himself on how he may be slain. This was his promise to you. Let us go to him now and once more beseech him. If you question him, he will surely speak the truth. O Yudhisthira, take off your armor, and we will go and see the son of Ganga. Servants removed the Pandava's armor, and then they accompanied Krishna to the Kaurava camp. They were ushered into Bhishma's tent, and they bowed at his feet. Bhishma's face lit up when he saw them. Welcome, O best of the Vrishnis. Welcome, too, all you sons of Pandu. Bhishma stood resplendent in his white silks. He waved his long arm toward the many fine golden seats arranged around him on the silk rugs in his tent. After his visitors were seated, he took his own seat and said, What can I do for your delight? I will do it with all my soul, even if it is extremely difficult to accomplish. Yudhisthira folded his palms. Looking at Bhishma, he remembered their years together in Hastinapur. His heart melted, and he could hardly speak. Glancing across at Krishna to gain strength, he took a deep breath and addressed the old Kuru leader. O Bhishma, O highly learned man, please tell us how we may gain victory in this fight. How can we put an end to this slaughter? O Lord, please tell us how we may vanquish you. You do not display even the slightest weakness in battle. Your bow is always fully drawn. No one can see when you take up your shafts, place them on your bow and fire them. Who could dare to face you when you blaze forth with such awful prowess? Each day you slaughter more of my army, and I fear that soon we shall be ruined. Thus I have come to you again, as you instructed me, O grandsire. Bhishma was moved as he looked at Yudhisthira and his brothers. All of them carried scars from the wounds they had received in the battle. All of them were gazing reverentially at his face. How different they were from Duryodhana and his brothers. Bhishma knew that if he told Yudhisthira now to give up the fight and leave the kingdom to the Kauravas, he would obey. There was nothing the Pandavas would not do to satisfy their elders. If only Dhritarashtra's sons were like these virtuous brothers, this horrible carnage would never have happened. Yet here was Krishna. It was surely his desire and arrangement that all the earth's kings and warriors be destroyed. So many of them were, after all, atheistic, even demonic. Obviously, he wanted to relieve the earth's burden. After a few moments, Bhishma said, O son of Kunti, as long as I am alive, you will not gain victory. I tell you this surely. Strike me down, and the victory will be yours. I will permit you, O sons of Kunti, to strike me as you please. When I am slaughtered, then all the others on our side will be overcome. Yudhisthira spoke with difficulty. Please tell us in detail how we may achieve this apparently impossible feat, O wise man. We could perhaps vanquish Indra, thunderbolt in hand, or Yamaraj wielding his mace, but you appear to be invincible. Bhishma held up his hands. It is as you say, O king. When with these hands I clutch weapons and stand to fight, none can withstand me. Only when I lower my weapons will I be approachable. Here is my vow, which I will not break. I will not raise weapons against one who is weaponless, one whose armor and standard are shattered, one who flies away in fear, one who surrenders, one who has only one son, one who is disabled, a woman, or one who bears the name of a woman. O son of Pandu, I will fight with none of these at any time. Bhishma placed a hand on Yudhisthira's shoulder as he spelled out his meaning. Drupada's valiant and wrathful son, who is known in your army as Sikandi, is he who will cause my fall. Formerly he was a woman, as everyone knows. Therefore I will not strike him, even if he attacks me. Place him at the forefront of the fight, and let Arjuna stand behind him. Only Dhananjaya, or the illustrious Krishna, can bring me down in battle. If Sikandi faces me, I will not fight, and then it will be possible for Arjuna to slay me. Do this, O Yudhisthira, and gain victory. When Bhishma stopped speaking, the Pandavas rose from their seats. Bowing before him one by one, they touched his feet and asked his permission to leave. Krishna also placed his hand on Bhishma's feet and bowed on the floor before him. Then they all left that tent, leaving Bhishma alone. As they made their way back to their own camp, Arjuna spoke with Krishna. His face was flushed and his voice choked as he addressed his friend. O Vasudev, while playing in my childhood, I would soil the high-minded Bhishma's garments by climbing onto his lap. Clambering on his body, I would say, Father. That hero would then gently reply, I am not your father, but your father's father, O Bharata. How can I slay him, O Madhava? Let him kill our troops. I cannot kill him under any circumstances. What do you think, O Krishna? Krishna's voice was firm. O Jishnu, having promised to kill Bhishma in battle, how can you now avoid that without transgressing your Kshatriya duties? Overthrow him, O son of Kunti. Without slaying Ganga's son in battle, you can never hope to win this war. It has been ordained by the gods that Bhishma will soon go to death's abode. Only you can bring him down. Do not hesitate. Hear from me an ancient instruction given by Brihaspati. One should slay even an aged man or an elder, or one endowed with all virtues, if he comes as an enemy, or indeed anyone else who comes for one's destruction. This is the eternal duty of Kshatriyas, O Dhananjaya. Fighting, protecting the subjects, and performing sacrifices, all without maliciousness, are their sacred duties. Arjuna looked ahead into the darkness as they rode across the field. He knew he could not avoid this fight, especially as Krishna repeatedly urged him on. Clearly, it was his duty. Only sentiment held him back. Somehow he had to get past that. Clutching the reins of his white horse, Arjuna replied solemnly, Surely, O Krishna, Sikandi has been born for Bhishma's death. As soon as Bhishma sees him, he will drop his weapons. Therefore, as Bhishma has suggested, let us place Sikandi at the front as we attack the grandfather. I will then do the needful. The Pandavas returned to their camp with mixed feelings. They now knew that victory would be theirs before long, but only at the cost of Bhishma's life. Censuring Duryodhan and his old father, they entered their tents to rest for the night. After describing to Dhritarashtra the fights which had resulted in the death of his sons, Sanjaya fell silent. The blind king was weeping again, beating his chest and tossing about on his great throne. Alas, everything is my fault. Why did I not listen to Vidura? Where is my learned brother now? Where will all this end, O Sanjaya? What refuge is there for an old and weary man, bereft of his sons and other relations? Sanjaya tried to console the monarch as he vented his grief. He had little to say. The battle was taking its inevitable course. Dhritarashtra had been told many times about the outcome. Now Bhima was systematically destroying his sons, just as he had vowed. But would even that make Dhritarashtra realize his fault? His self-condemnation was certainly nothing new. Every time the Kauravas suffered a reverse, he expressed his remorse, but those feelings dissolved whenever he heard that they had won a battle. As the king's sobbing subsided, Sanjaya continued describing the battle in full. Sure enough, as he described how Bhishma was coursing through the battle like death personified, the king was enlivened. He sat forward and listened carefully as Sanjaya told him how the grandfather had routed the Pandava troops. Then Sanjaya told him of the episode in Bhishma's tent. Dhritarashtra was aghast. Why has our grandsire revealed how he may die? How can that be his duty? I think he has become weary of the fight. Surely he is favoring Pandu's sons over mine. Alas, I do not think I will be able to hear of the next day's fighting, bringing as it will the fall of such a hero. Dhritarashtra's wails again filled the empty chamber where he and Sanjaya sat. They echoed mournfully around the hall as Sanjaya looked across at the ornate seat where Bhishma used to sit.